Well, if you've listened to these podcasts at all or looked over the website, you'll know my study, my idea of the study, is all about making a space where someone can undertake a whole range of activity, scholarly, creative, focused activity that needs concentration for lengthy periods. It's a sort of place where you can work without the world bumping your elbow every time you move. It's a sort of program for people who like to withdraw at least for a while from the hurly-burly and find their way into an inner life, or to construct an inner life where the mind is freer. Sometimes I feel like there is a conspiracy to eliminate the kind of quietness needed, especially from the public domain. It comes from commercial interests, of course, but there is also a certain cultural outlook that can't bear to have it in galleries or museums, or even libraries, that willingly disrupts it with technology and any kind of distraction. People take mobile calls in the reading rooms and among the book stacks without a care. There's even a school of thought that these places should be like medieval markets with jugglers and clowns and a kind of street life fantasy. But of course, in a cute theme park sort of fashion, no real peasants wanted. What I'm after is the kind of space that the great crime writer Raymond Chandler once talked about. Chandler, a major creator of the American hard-bitten private eye, was English. He was educated in an old grammar school environment where the boys were, in effect, detained in quiet rooms with their books for hours, with strict controls on fooling around. He imposed the same habits on himself throughout his writing career, shutting himself up alone, his wife staunchly defending his privacy. Just like in his schoolboy situation, he was not compelled to do anything. The idea was that, out of boredom if nothing else, some work would get done. The boys would study their books. Chandler wrote his tough, highly crafted prose that did so much to spawn a literary genre that has sustained a publishing industry ever since. Astronomers, of course, have their own problems making a space to work, in finding locations free of the light and dust pollution thrown in their way. They have to go to remote mountaintops. They have to keep strange hours. Don Mathewson tells me that he would normally do a 13-hour stint overnight, most times alone, often in the freezing cold. There's been more written about the fear of being alone, indeed the pathology of it, than the capacity for it, than about its rewards. I think there's something very appealing about being cloistered for long hours with the stars, exploring the edge of the known universe. It has a sort of romantic attraction, but I'd be the first to admit that I could never have taken on the long overnight hours that Don did. The nearest I ever got to it was spending my summers in student days as a fire watcher. But I did spend long periods alone in the bush when I was writing too. It's not something that appeals to me now. A few days camping is usually enough. The setup in a quiet room is more productive. I'm not sure how much my dear wife understands these habits, but at least when I'm doing it, I guess she knows where I am and generally keeping out of trouble. One thing I know is that I've never had to rely on boredom to make me work. Don assures me that he was never bored, never got tired, quite the contrary, that the adrenaline would be pumping because he was always on the hunt. There was always a goal beckoning. A single passing cloud could be aggravating. One time at Jodrell Bank in his youth, he was awake for 72 hours. He remembers the passion that drove him to do it. Over the years, observing gradually change from looking through small self-built instruments to big computerized ones with display screens. Well, I hope the passion is still possible. My hat is off to all the real astronomers out there that do that. They, and I certainly include all the amateurs that dedicate themselves to this, are people who deserve support. I'm sure you can find a local astronomical society almost anywhere. They may well spot that asteroid coming and help save us, for one. That's something that has only become widely understood in recent times. But aside from standing lookout on the city wall, they also keep open a door on the mysteries of the world. They keep our little planet tuned in and open for things, not just by playing with gadgets, but by concentrating.